Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Eddie Jackson, Bears safety.
Nothing easy, baby. You got to work. Hard work. Like Tariq, he had a saying. He said, don't wish for it, work for it. So we won't work for it.
Interceptor of passes.
Rodgers, late pressure coming. Throwing over the middle. It's broken up and intercepted in the end zone. Coming out with it, Eddie Jackson.
Scorer of touchdowns.
Here's the throw. He's picked off, and there he goes. Eddie Jackson to the house at the 10-5 end zone. Touchdown.
It's fun. You know, we're trying to bring that swagger back to the Bears.
Quarterbacks. Ooh, they hate him, but we love him.
Like Coach Nugget says, we're either getting better or getting worse. And right now, we got a saying, we're chasing greatness. We're not just saying it, we're actually coming in every day and improving it.
Eddie Jackson, every week with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's a Built for Tough Bears Monday. We're delighted to welcome in Eddie Jackson. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Eddie, of course, the Bears Pro Bowl safety. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Morning, Eddie.
I'm good, good. Good morning. How you doing?
So we're just trying to figure out what's the takeaway from that game, Eddie? I mean, you know, obviously it's a quick week. Obviously you got to play on Thursday. There's not a lot of time to sit back and look at some of the issues or anything that happened. What is your takeaway from this sort of a game against an opponent like the New York Giants?
We came out, we just got to finish, continue to work on finishing. We came out, we played a good game, offense was aggressive, making plays downfield, defense, our part, we held up, we almost want to keep them out the end zone. So we just got to continue to work on finishing. And, now it's just time to take everything one game at a time.
First Giants play from scrimmage, Eddie, you get Saquon Barkley for a 5-yard loss, good tackles. Tough tackle. Guy who was one of the toughest running backs to tackle in the league. How big was that in setting a tone for that defense?
It was huge. It was huge. That was the mindset of just stopping the run. He's a great running back. He's doing a lot of good things. So, we knew we had to get on him early and stop the run. And he rushed for 100 yards on us last year. So we knew they was going to try to come out and run the ball and try to get him going. And, that was going to help them out. But, we did a great job of, executing our gaps and stopping the run.
Eddie, I don't know if you heard any of the television broadcasts, but they were pretty tough on you guys when you gave up the Golden Tate touchdown, a 23-yard pass there in the fourth quarter. They were going off on the idea that you had three defenders and who's deepest than the deepest, right? And what happened on that play? Was it just a guy making a great play? Was there something that went awry in the coverage?
He made a good throw. I was like a little too aggressive. I seen him in the pocket, so I kind of like broke down, and he threw the ball like a floating ball. He just threw it up. It was a good throw and catch. That's all it was. I just supposed to have been deeper. I was trying to be too aggressive, thinking he's gonna like try to fit the ball in, but he ended up just lobbing it up. So it was a good catch.
Golden Tate is kind of a clutch receiver in those situations. Did he do a lot of talking? It seemed like he was a guy that seems to be actively, he's not shy, he's confident, and he seems to talk a lot on the field.
No, he wasn't talking at all. We played him a few times before. He don't really talk, not when I played him. He always, is kind of quiet and just, do his job.
Yeah, I don't know if you were watching much of the Bears offense, but I was amused at the idea that Corey Ballantyne was the leading tackler for the Giants. He had 9 tackles in that game, mainly because they were picking on him at one point. I think they had 5 consecutive passes to him. Obviously, you look at a guy like that, and you want to, if you feel you have an advantage, you want to attack. Do you ever feel sympathy for a guy when you see him having that kind of a day?
Nah, not at all. That's the part of the game. You know, you got to just step up. So there's no sympathy felt, you know, especially from a different team. Nah, not at all.
Daniel Jones, obviously, he turned the ball over with the strip sack from Khalil Mack that everybody had been waiting for. Was there a sense yesterday, Eddie, that if you just waited out, that he was going to turn the football over?
Yeah, most definitely. That was in our minds. You know, and the rush was getting there good. And, you know, they left Mack a one-on-one a couple of times, and you see what happened. So we just knew we was going to get the ball off of him. And knowing his turnover history already, we knew we had a good chance to getting the ball off of him.
It's a quick turnaround, as we said. Obviously, Thursday in Detroit, and they are coming back from a road game. What, if anything, do you take from that first game? Is the game plan – do you have a very good feel for this team? Is there a concern that they could be swapping out quarterbacks here? It seems like they'd be unlikely to do that with one practice, but then again, they just lost at Washington, so who knows?
Yeah, the game plan is the same. Just go out there, execute, you know, play our game. You know, defense for us, you just got to continue to go out there, stop the run. We know they got the quarterback, Driscoll. And we just got to, you know, take care of the stuff in the back end, you know, not give up those plays like I gave up, you know, on that fourth down. Just be on top of the keys, you know, at all times.
What do you know about Driscoll now that maybe you didn't when he was a surprise starter the first time that can help you on Thursday?
Just how mobile he is. You know, he can run the ball and just try to extend plays. So we just got to contain him and, you know, get that rush that we had this game, you know, up front and in the back end. Just continue to take care of our job and play fundamental football, you know, attention to details and things like that.
Eddie, a lot was made that Khalil Mack did not turn up on the game sheet after last week, and then he responds and he had a pretty good game. Obviously, the big play, the strip sack, you guys get the ball with on the 3-yard line, and that ends up being the difference in the game when you really sit back and take a look at it. How important was that play for you guys? How important was that play for him? And did he react any differently last week as opposed to this week? Did you see it coming?
I mean, like I said, he get doubled and triple teamed a lot. So,
right.
You know, they left him one-on-one. And of course, you know, in 10 out of 10, Matt gonna win a one-on-one battle. So that's all it was. You know, they gave him a one-on-one opportunity. He took advantage of it. And, you know, we always know when he gets to the quarterback, if Mack ran in, that quarterback still got a ball, it's a good chance, a high possibility that, you know, the ball is going to come out. You know, that's what he does best at. But, you know, that's him. He approaches the game the same all the time. You know, he knows what's ahead of him. You know, people won't come out there and try to double team him and triple team and stuff. And he just wanted to dominate his box.
You know, Eddie, you celebrate every victory. And for the 8th time this season, you guys as a defense held – the opponent to 17 points or fewer. You've got to feel very good collectively about how the unit played. At the same time, does that 23-yard touchdown stick with you? Did that eat at you last night? Is that hard to get past when you have that one play that even though you won and even though you played well overall, it's hard to get past?
Man, it's tough, man. I won't say it's hard to get past, but it definitely is in your mind, you know, for a while, man. But, you know, you just got to continue to come in and correct those type of things. You know, it's little things that you can correct. You know, it's not something that's like a big thing that is hard to fix. You know, it's something easy. You know, just don't be too aggressive on, you know, trying to break on the balls. Just, you know, just take your time, play back, and just let it come to you. But that's all it is. You know, you can come in and you can correct those. You know how to move forward from it. So it's really not nothing that's really, really eating you up.
He's Eddie Jackson. You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score. And, Eddie, we talk about where you guys are at. We look around at the standings and, you know, half of the league, 16 of the 32 teams are below 500. You got a chance to get back there. What would that mean for you, and what will it mean for your season if you can continue to win here, and you have Akeem Hicks maybe coming back at some point? Is he talking to you guys about that? Are you feeling that, or is it just more living in the moment?
As talking to us about, you talking about Coach Nagy or Akeem?
I'm talking about Akeem. I mean, him saying, "Hey, I'm going to be back here for the last few games. Make sure it matters."
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's not talking about it, but we can feel it. You know, we can feel it. We go out there and just, you know, do our jobs and take care of everything. We know it's, you know, it's a it's a tough one right now. You know, we got to win out. You know, that's just the focus of it. Like, look, we just going to keep stacking these games, keep stacking these wins. And, you know, you see Keem, he's been working hard and trying to get back in. He's almost there if he's not there already. So we got a feeling that he's going to be back real soon, you know, just to see him doing all the drills and everything and how far he came with the rehab situation. And, you know, you just decided to get a guy like that back, you know, one of our leaders and type of player he is. It's just always fun when he's on the field. But for us, we just got to continue to stack these wins for him. So when he do get back, we have a great chance, a better chance at the playoffs.
Our conversation with Eddie Jackson is brought to you by our new partners at Mercedes-Benz of Orland Park, who sponsor Eddie every Monday at 8 on the Mullin Haw Show and Fridays at 5 with McNeil and Parkins. Make sure to listen to both segments live or on demand at 670thescore.com. Okay, Eddie, quick turnaround on Thursday. What kind of shape is your body in, and do you have any weekend plans for Thanksgiving after the victory?
Body pretty good. You know, just got to get on a cold tub and everything today, get a little treatment in. In a while, I'm going to go up there, but overall, it's about it good. And, you know, my family, they're coming down, having Thanksgiving dinner at my house that Thursday night when we get back. So I'm looking forward to that because it's been a while.
That's pressure.
That's great, yeah. You got to come home and make a turkey. Yeah. No, I'm sure you can hire someone. So listen, so we talked to you last week about how important it is to keep with team goals and not personal goals. I'm sure you're desperate to make a play. There was one play where I think it was a little screen pass, and you came up and you hit the guy, and it looked like you were going for the ball rather than taking him down. Did anyone talk to you about that? Was that a mistake? Should you have tackled him at that point, or are you desperate to try to force a turnover? And does that change the way you play a little bit?
You know, just should have tackled him. Just should have secured the tackle better. You know, but I was definitely going for the ball. Yep. But just got to secure the tackle better. That's the first step, was just securing the tackle. And, you know, just like you said, just trying to make a play, you know, trying to get the ball out. So that's all that was. But, you know, just like I said, you got to secure the tackle first, then, you know, try to get a good chance to get the ball. But that works when everyone's flying to the ball and things like that. So
good luck, Eddie. Have a great Thanksgiving
holiday,
on Thursday.
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
Yep,
you too. That is Eddie Jackson. We should tell him about that fan that brought the pumpkin pie in. Just get that pie and put a little. I'm just saying,
that's dessert.
Eddie's going to be sitting there in the third quarter, and he's going to be like, "Damn it, I didn't put the Brussels sprouts on."
So that'll explain the fourth quarter touchdown next game.
No, I'm not taking a shot.
Distracted
at Eddie.
By the groceries.
That was Eddie Jackson live, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and Built Ford Tough, the Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. No, I'm just saying, I'm making a joke that he is actually cooking the dinner.
That is funny.
I'm sure his mom's going to do
it. I'm sure he'll have some help.
The family. Yeah, you can, you know, that's why if you're a professional athlete, you're playing that morning, I don't think you have to run back and make sure that the Instapot is turned off.
I don't think so. Oh, no, I forgot.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's been so much scrutiny about Mitch Trubisky and his play. And yes, Bears people do believe his decision-making late last week was affected by his injury. In part, that is why he ended up on the sideline. Of course, he does need to play better. But there is, I'm told, serious confidence from this organization in Trubisky. And one of the reasons they have that is because they believe it's not just him on offense, Rich. The entire offense needs to play better. They have pre-snap penalties, receivers running the wrong route, run game issues, coaching issues. Yes, Trubisky needs to play better, but really it's the entire offense.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. So if I understand that, it is the fact that the team they put together is so bad that it can't be the quarterback's fault.
That's part of the explanation, okay. I guess. That's the party line that was being espoused. Yeah. I don't entirely buy that. I think it's premature to say that the Bears could have reached a conclusion on their quarterback that is anything but they're open to a change next season because of what he hasn't done.
Are you hoping that's the case?
I'm not hoping either way. I don't have
well,
any...
I hope they haven't reached a conclusion. Honestly. I honest to God hope they have not reached a conclusion that the Mitch era must continue. I think they need to be very sober and very...
Well, I think if they've reached a conclusion, it would be the other way. They reach a conclusion that he's not the guy.
But
they'd be closer to that than the other thing.
But that report is that they're not willing to stop.
Didn't you scratch your head when you heard that report or you saw it reported?
I didn't understand it.
I just don't know that it was appropriate at the time because if you want to put it out there, if you want to float it out there, whether you're the agent or the executive or the Bears, then, you know.
Hey, this is working. We're going to keep this going.
It's not working. It wasn't.
The backlash to that would be awful. If you really conclude at the end of this year, we don't need any, move right along. We're fine. We're moving forward. I think there'll be a bad backlash from the fan base.
I agree with that. And I think that it was odd because the day started with that sort of like, okay, let's take a step further into denial. But the day ended with some more honesty. And I thought refreshing honesty. And that was the biggest takeaway from yesterday for me was that you heard an edgy quarterback talking about wasting talent offensively and how they need to be better because before they waste this talent. And you heard a coach that didn't sound satisfied with the performance from his offense despite the victory. 19 points is not good enough. The offense isn't fixed. So I hope that's the approach they take because right. If not, they're fooling themselves into thinking they have something they don't.
312-644-6767. Let's continue the conversation with John. John joins us from Orland Park. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Great discussion this morning. If I didn't watch the game yesterday, I wouldn't believe what I'm hearing today sometimes. When I heard the interview, especially just recently with Eddie, I'm hearing things like, hey, when Hakeem comes back, we can maybe make the playoffs. Or, hey, it was a great game. And I actually watched the game, and I'm saying to myself, the defense let up a 98-yard run for a touchdown. I mean, not run, but
drive.
Going downfield
yes.
for a touchdown. I mean, we're playing so poorly. We're talking about Mitch Trubisky. Oh, my gosh. I think it's a foregone conclusion. This is not what we need to do again. The last quarterback we had, we did the same exact thing. We said, okay, he's a good quarterback. Let's stick with him for how many years? All we need is a tight end. Then I heard, all we need is a good running back and he'll be good. All we need is an offensive line and he'll be good. all we need is receivers and he'll be good.
Right.
And we surrounded him by all these players, and then we got rid of him because he still wasn't good. I mean, all these things we do with the Bears every year, and then this year we make more excuses. Do you see the way the Packers lost last night? That's the way we should have beat this team.
Yes.
This team is worse than almost every category there is in football, and then we almost lost, or we should have lost, because the other team, because the Giants missed two field goals. So
yes,
we could never be happy about this.
No, that was a game. That was a game of foregone conclusion before it began. It should not have even been. I mean, listen, I know no one cares about the point spread, and we're not talking about gambling or anything like that. But they didn't even cover against the Giants at home because they couldn't muster enough offense to get that done. And the Giants did miss two makeable field goals that would have meant the Bears lose the damn game.
True.
But
I don't think the Bears sounded satisfied with what happened. I mean, quite the opposite. I understand the fans' frustration, and I would be frustrated watching this team as well. You got 19 points, and you're right about the Giants being a 2-9 team that to miss two field goals and lost by five. That's bad. But Trubisky sounded like a guy who didn't want to waste talent. Nagy sounded like a guy who wasn't going to take, you know, this away from this, like just the victory. There's nobody with blinders on. I didn't sense after that game. Eddie Jackson, he's a player in a locker room that they have to look at this.
That's how they have to compartmentalize.
These are long seasons. These are broad discussions that we have on the radio. But in the locker room, you're worried about the next opponent and what you see in front of you on tape and what you see on the field on Thursday or on Sunday. So I don't know. I was not disappointed with the way the Bears handled that postgame. Actually, I was more encouraged than anything. Like Owen Krutz said, at least there's a plan. It sounds like they were not happy with the way things went, and they know they need to be better.
Where there's life, there's hope. If you're a player on a team that has a chance to get to 500 and technically has a chance to have 10 wins, that's all you focus on. You don't focus on, well, the odds are now, well, we're going to struggle to be 500. That's not how you do it.
Yeah.
So, I was pleasantly surprised with what I heard. And
I agree.
Didn't mention playoffs last year? That's what he said to you, Dave.
Yeah,
right?
He did say that to me.
Really?
I didn't have my notes handy from 2018, but I think he probably did mention playoffs a time or two.
Molly, they would have covered the spread if they would have converted that two-point conversion.
Oh, that's right.
Being a 48-yard extra.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Point, yeah.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Trubisky turns it loose, batted in the air, and a diving attempt. Is that an interception or not? I think they are saying no. Julian Love, the rookie out of Notre Dame, nearly coming up with that football, and the Bears will punt it away. That is a 38-3 and out this year, most of the NFL, and that one shanked off the right foot of the normally reliable O'Donnell. And the natives growing a wee bit restless.
You know, we don't care. Either the boos or the yells and screams for us, you know, it doesn't faze us anymore. So we hear them, but, you know, it's just nothing.
Have you ever booed anybody as a fan?
No. If I'm a fan of somebody, I'm with them through the highs and the lows.
So at halftime, do you talk about that? Do you know how flat the crowd was, your home crowd?
Nah, I mean, we might have talked about it the first time they booed us, but now, you know, we don't talk about it at all. It's just us against the world, basically.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is Tariq Cohen. Doesn't dig the booze.
Us against the world.
Anyone.
Who's winning?
I think the world will always beat
world's
you.
World's always going to win.
That's why you need each other.
Yeah, you need each other.
That's why you need the fans and everyone else.
Yeah. Boo this man!
It's interesting that still kind of rubs them the wrong way, and they can deal with it however they... But look, it's a lot of frustration in the air yesterday. A lot of frustration in the year this season. This has been a very disappointing year.
I thought yesterday was
Bears.
The first time, David, where it was almost like people had given up.
There was a sense of that in the building. It was kind of very quiet.
There wasn't even the usual anger. There wasn't even the boos.
Apathy is worse than anger.
It is.
And you reached that a couple years ago
right.
at a critical phase, and I think that they got past that last year. Last year was all about this whole sort of revival, the Bears revival, and 12-4, and this season certainly the expectations, and watching things get away from you this year has been a frustrating process for Bears fans. Yesterday, you're right. You didn't sense it at Soldier Field maybe as much like, I cannot believe they're doing this to me again. It was just kind of like, wake me up when it's over.
The Bears are so lucky they had last year when they had last year. Because if they had this year last year, they'd be going into that 100 celebration in the summer. Can you imagine what that would have been like?
It would have been difficult and awkward. And yet, if you were going to ask me, would I prefer a coach to take over a team and to have a, and you're going to hear here, you can choose which, when you want to have your 12-4 season, your first or second season. I'm picking second season.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that I understand you're right. They would have been very uncomfortable in the offseason and all that goodwill. I think they're relying on that now to kind of carry them through. But yeah, I think that you want to be building towards something that's in a direction that's obvious. And it's not always been obvious this year what direction it's headed.
Well, and again, maybe people wouldn't boo if you played better.
Yeah, no, that's always the case.
It seems like that might be a way of going about it. It often seems like the crowd is reacting to the performance.
Maybe you're never going to win that one either if you're a player.
Yes.
A couple things I want to point out. We heard Julian Love. Remember talking to him before the draft?
Yes, we talked to Julian, yeah.
Fine young man Nazareth High School and local guy, Notre Dame cornerback, now playing safety. Yesterday he played with a heavy heart, which I thought was interesting, and he had an interception. And, you know, he was friends with the two young men who were pulled out of Lake Michigan last week.
We were talking about that story because that was near here.
Oh, my gosh. It was just down the street. And you know, you see him come home and he talked about how his friends would have been at the game and it had to be a lot on his mind. And that's not a good football team that he belongs to right now as a rookie. But you feel good for the young man who we talked to and does everything. You know, it was a really good example in college, and so he leaves at least with an interception. So
he also had a punt return that might have gone the distance had Cordero Patterson not come back in from out of bounds and lay him out.
He did.
That was unbelievable. He came back in. He got blocked into the sideline, reestablished himself, and just smoked Julian Love on that play.
What do you think of Cordero Patterson? Are you as surprised as I have been at his willingness to be a role player?
To hit people and
He'll hit you. He's a football player.
Yeah, he's a football player. Well, he's a big, strong guy, man. I mean, to be honest with you, David, I am surprised at the way they have employed him this year. And by that, I mean not employing him this year.
Well, let's face it,
he would be a bigger part of this offense, frankly.
And you look at him and he has all the athleticism to make you think that he's going to be that secret weapon or that guy that you use in multiple different ways. And yet, what is he? At his best this year, he has been a special teams dynamo. He's making tackles. He's running through tackles. He's a threat when he's deep. I didn't expect him to be as willing of a defensive player on covering punts as he has been.
But I mean, they didn't get him the ball in any way. I thought when we talked about this and when we talked about the danger with trusting the tight end and how the tight end could go by the wayside, he was one of the names that people would constantly bring up. And I felt, well, that was the one guy that they went out, this had a kind of jack of all trades, sort of knife of a man that could do so many different things, and you could use all sorts of different methodologies with him. I thought that would be the way he'd be employed. I'm surprised Matt Nagy never got to that. But then again, his offense has never worked, so maybe he's never had a chance to.
I can remember sitting with Ryan Pace and Bourbonnais and you asking Ryan Pace if you agreed with you, essentially, that was the biggest offseason acquisition for this offense.
Well, the difference maker. The one thing that was different than all the others.
That you didn't have. And you went out and he was different. And yesterday was a weird game because the two biggest plays that I liked the most were one, a quarterback keeper on third and goal at the two. And the other big play was a 61-yard punt where Cordero Patterson hustled his way down the field.
Fantastic.
To dive to keep the ball from going into the end zone.
Did a great job on that.
And you just don't see veterans who are offensive finesse type players making those kind of plays.
We have a texter checking in. It may be correct. He may be the only Bears Pro Bowl player. He may be the only Pro Bowl player because he's a return guy and he's a special team.
Khalil Mack's got to go, right?
Oh, I think you should keep him. I don't know why you'd get rid of him.
To the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get rid of him.
No, no.
Frank is on the road. Kevin, save that. Khalil Mack has to go.
Stop
We can really turn
duly
that on
noted.
David. Frank is on the road. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, Frank. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, you know what? Trubisky wanted us to turn the TVs off a couple of weeks ago. I've been a Bears fan for over 30 years. I obliged him. My daughter got married last week in Florida, so I set the time to drive back, so I didn't watch the game at all. And it is offensive. It's this whole season's been deplorable. You can't watch it.
You know, you listen to me. You can watch the last drive of the first half and then the third quarter. That's what you got to do. Time it up so you can watch just that part of the
game. Especially the third quarter. Just watch it four times.
There you go.
Mitchell never threw an interception. He's got a very – I think it was J.J. Stankiewicz worked out the numbers in the third quarter. I think his passer rating is over 100 in the third quarter.
Somehow convince him that the start of the game is the third quarter. Kelly's on the road. Good morning, Kelly.
Morning, Kelly.
Hey, just real quick question. I know we got some off-season things to address and re-signing. You know, you got a Mukamara who might retire, and you got Allen Robinson. You got to re-sign an Eddie Robinson. How is that? How are we going to look at addressing the – offensive line issue to be able to assign somebody who actually can go in there and, you know, and to move forward and not move backwards all the time? I don't see how our offense is going to improve if we don't address the line.
Thanks, Kelly.
I think that you're right about concerns with the offensive line. I don't think you're correct in predicting all the people who are leaving the defensive secondary.
No.
I don't think that Eddie Jackson is going anywhere. They'll have to pay him. I'm not sure that Prince Amukamara is going to retire. Did I miss that one?
No, I don't think he is. Why would he?
You might invest in a free agent offensive tackle. You might have to draft one, but I do think that's going to be at the top of your priority list.
Yes, I agree. David is on the road. Good morning, David.
Morning, David.
Good morning. The officiating in the NFL, it doesn't matter what game you watch. It's just getting worse by the week. I believe that if they made these guys full-time officials and made them hit the grindstone 5 days a week instead of 2 days a week, I mean, you got doctors, lawyers. Who's to say they're not thinking about Monday morning they got an important case or operation to take care of or what have you? It's pathetic. I'm going to hang up and
David. Listen,
and by the same token, I don't want my surgeon worried about the offensive pass interference call he blew on Sunday.
Listen, I saw Ed Hockley's son is now an official. Did you see that? I saw Hockley calling a play. Yeah, I was just
yesterday,
like,
right?
Yeah, I just was like, oh my God, there's, you know, I haven't thought of Ed in a while.
Biggs pointed out that he saw Mitch talking with Sean Hockley on the sidelines and thought that was noteworthy because you don't see that very often. Quarterbacks talking to officials on the sidelines.
I saw the head coach talking to the officials on the sidelines too. It seemed like he was upset about something.
Well, he had plenty to be upset about. The officiating is at a crisis level across the league. I mean, yesterday was in the Saints Panthers game.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
The offensive pass interference there.
That was rough.
Sean Payton said that he called him out after the game in New Orleans again, ironically enough. But every game seems to have something that goes, you know, wrong.
Yeah,
with the officiating.
I don't know that applies necessarily to what we're seeing with the Bears this year. I mean, look.
They're not connected, no.
No, but I do think that there is a disconnection here in terms of even your level of excitement when they win. That because that Giants team was so god-awful, the takeaway wasn't really, the Bears won. It was more like, that game's over.
Well,
it was just awful.
If you beat the Rams in L.A. 19-14, you're like, hey,
all
right.
You know what? And that's the problem is they're talking about stacking wins, and you look at that team and the way they played on Sunday, and you wonder, can they really go in Thursday and beat this god-awful Detroit team that just lost to Washington? That's how miserable, again, half – the league has a losing record.
Yeah, but they
can. Half their division has a losing record.
The Lions are doing what they typically do. They're learning to lose. You can see that. I mean, they tend to fall into these patterns, and it's hard to get out of their own way.
I just hope the quarterback doesn't come back. That would make them awful.
Stafford.
Well, it would change everything.
That you can see the story being written.
Sure.
I mean, it's the family dynamic. He comes back on Thanksgiving Day with the broken back and the, you know.
Oh, my God. Not what you want to see.
He carries his Lions team to victory.
Not what you want to see. You want the Bears to just stack some wins, get to a point where you feel like there's hope, right? I mean, I don't know that there is.
Get to 500, take a deep breath and see what you got.
if the quarterback's angry now, if the coach is you know, going to start changing some of the things he's doing, and then you can build a little bit of something. I feel hollow saying it, David. I don't feel the same confidence about it.
Do you agree or disagree with me, and we'll get into this more tomorrow, I did see things to build on with Mitch Trubisky
they
yesterday.
They looked better, but they look at how many points they scored and look how god-awful they were.
I know, but you got to start somewhere.
But I reluctantly agree.
For the first time in a while, it wasn't sort of this manufactured progress that they spoke of that I had to say, okay, well, maybe I could see it that way if I put on my rose-colored glasses.
Steady incremental progress.
I actually saw some things from the quarterback athletically and instinctively that I think they can build on if they are willing to build on them.
If they don't blow it against the Lions.
if they don't overcoach him.
We're gonna bring in Danny Connor next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.